We begin Be'ez Hashem, Daf Tes, Mesechtes Chagiga, four lines down at the top of the Yamin. We continue with Halacha. The next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of these Mishnais, the beginning of our Perek, our Mesechta, regarding the Halachas of the Karma Chagiga. As the Mishnah begins, Mishloi Chag, if someone did not bring his Karma Chagiga, B'yom Tov Rishon Shechag, on the first day of Yom Tov, Chagig is Kolar Ego, so he can bring the Chagiga the whole Yom Tov, and B'yom Tov Achron Shechag, and also the last days of the Yom Tov Sukkos, on Shmini Atzeres, although it is its own Yom Tov. However, it's still considered to Teshlumen, the supplement of the first days of Yom Tov. But if someone, the Yom Tov passed and he didn't bring the Chagig yet, in the Chay Bachar Yusai, then he's not responsible to bring this anymore. And Al Zeh Nemar regarding this is a pasuk in Kehelas. Mu'uvus, that which is crooked, Layochel Liskin, cannot be fixed. The Chesrin, that which is lacking, Layochel Lihimonis, he cannot be counted on anymore. Shimon ben Nasio, I mean, he says a different interpretation of that pasuk. He says, "Ezehu meubesh in yochel hisaken." What is something that's crooked that cannot be fixed? Zehabal la'erva. Someone has cohabits with a woman that's forbidden to him. V'hoyle memena mamzer, and he gives birth to an illegitimate child, where he brings in those that are invalid to the Jewish people, which is an everlasting memory to his sin, and therefore his sins are not erased with his repentance. And as Tosfos says, also his embarrassment is more recognizable where that mamzer is seen to the world in contrast to other sins, a murder or a theft. The testimony is not there in front of everyone. Imtem, if you're going to say, b'koin v'geizel, maybe it's regarding someone who steals or robs. No, yochel echazir, he can return the monies that he stole and he can return what was robbed to the owners. And v'isakin, he'll be able to fix it from his sin in contrast to giving birth to a mamzer. I mean, he gives a different interpretation of that pasuk. He says, "In karm uves, you don't call something twisted and that's crooked. It's only something that originally was straight and was fixed initially, then it's obvious and then got distorted. What's that? That specifically is a tamachachem. Someone was a tamachachem. He was straight. He was mesukin, and that perish from that tayra, and he removes himself from tayra. Now he becomes crooked. That's what the pasuk is referring to." So the Gemara says, where do we know this from? The opening halacha of our Mishnah, that even the last day of Yom Tov of Sukkot, that of Shmini Atzeres, is considered tashlum, and it can make up for the karbanos of Sukkot that every individual has to bring on Yom Tov. So I'm going to be Mishumi Bishmol, he says, because Nemet says the pasuk in the Varm Atzeres, when it's Bishvi Shal Pesach, and the Varm Tezai, in the parasha of Kol HaBachar, it says, 6 days you should eat matzahs, and on the seventh day is Atzeres. Now, the Nemet says, in the Yikra Atzeres, Bishmini Shal Chag, when it refers to Shmini, what we call Shmini Atzeres, the eighth day of Sukkot. So Malah, just like over there by Shvi Shal Pesach L'Tashlumin, you can make up for the first days because the Shvi Shal Pesach is not different at all from the rest of the Yom Tov of Pesach. And so Afkan L'Tashlumin, so to over here Shmini Atzeres, although it is different from the first days regarding what's called Pezar Keshav, as the Gemara tells us later in Av Yitzayin and Aleph, but regarding everything else, the halach is going to be that Afkan L'Tashlumin here also, the Shmini Atzeres will be, at least in regards to making up for the Gemara's the Chagiga, the same as the first days. But the Gemara points out that mufta. You have to say that this gezeirah shel of the word atzeres, comparing Shmini Atzeres of Sukkot to the last days of Shvi Shal Pesach, that the word is extra to say this gezeirah shava. And then when the words are extra, you can't ask what's called a pircha, a flaw, that would seemingly say it's not really comparable, because any gezeirah shava, the words are the same and it's extra words, we learn and we don't respond to say, oh, we have a question. Because the ilav mufna, if the word atzeres is not extra, it's not superfluous, then ikla mifrach, then that allows us to ask a question. And we do have a question here on this gezeirah shava then. Malish shvishah pesach, what could you learn now from the seventh day of Pesach, shekin in the chalak mishalafana? Like we're saying, there's no difference at all from the last day of Pesach, from the earlier ones. So yeah, it's going to be tashlumen of rishon. But term mishmina shachag, how are you comparing that to the eighth day of Sukkot, shechalak mishalafana, where it is differentiated on some level in six areas from the days before it? So the Gemara says, yeah, right, the truth is, afnu yim mufna. These words atzeres are superfluous. Because mechti, let's see. My atzeres, what does the word atzeres mean? It means held in. Atzer basis malacha, that you're held back from doing forbidden activity. Now the problem is, except for the pasuk there, says loisasa malacha. In that pasuk itself that it says on the seventh day of Pesach, atzeres l'shem akecha, it says loisasa malacha, don't do work. So atzeres takas rachman alamali, why is it Torah then using the word atzeres? Rather, obviously, you could infer from that, lafnui, the word is superfluous to compare to the word atzeres by Shmini Atzeres, to tell you just like there is tashlum in the region, so the Shmini Atzeres is tashlum in the region. However, betana maisi lamahacha, as Rashi explains, because the first interpretation was Rabbi Yechanan, who is the Namayra, so we say this terminology that atana, he brings a different source for this halacha of our Mishnah. It says the time to learn the braisa. Says the pasuk Yikra. Says b'chagoysim oisei chag l'Hashem shivas yom. You should make it as a chagiga. It as a chag for Hashem 7 days. Now yochli hei chagiga b'halach kol shiva. You would think to say, okay, all the 7 days of Pesach, you should bring a korban chagiga every single day. Tamalam oisei. It says in the singular it. It you do the chagiga, which is the first day. But you don't do chagiga all 7 days. Now I'm kain if that's the case. Then why do you say that you have it for 7 days if it's only one day? Oh, that's letashlumin, and this is the source according to Tana the Brisa that you can make it up all 7 days, but the obligation is only for one day. Now, nine. From where do we know shim lechagim to berishon shachag that if you did not bring the chagiga the first day of Sukkot, shachagig v'holich as kol ha'rekel that you go ahead and bring it the whole yomtiv and v'yomtiv ba'acharon, which this is a source that we're primarily trying to bring regarding that of shmini atzeres even that you could have tashlumen. Tamalema, the time of the Brisa learns it out from that pasuk that says b'chidish shavit chagu oisai in the 7th month of Tishrei, which is when Sukkot and shmini atzeres is. Chagu oisai, you should celebrate it, which tells us all the days of Sukkot that are in the 7th month. That's Techaygu Eisai, whatever's in the 7th month, which includes Shmini Atzeres, could also be supplementing for that original Chiv. Now, Iba Chaydish Hashvi, if we had this Pasuk of the 7th month, so you actually, Yochul Yehei Chaygi V'Hailacha Chaydish Kul, then you would think whatever's in the 7th month of Tishrei, any day that you want, you could make up the carbon of Sukkot, if you didn't bring out Sukkot, even after Yom Tov is over. Tamalema Eisai, that's what it said at the end of the Pasuk, it says 2 times the word Eisai. Another time it says Eisai to tell you, no, Eisai at the Chaygi, only it, which is on the Yomtiv itself, you could bring the Karmach HaGiga, V'yat HaChayge Chutzla, but you cannot bring the Karmach HaGiga outside of the Yomtiv itself, but you do have a source, a different source than Rabbi Yechanan the Braisam, that it's all the Yomtivim in the Chaydish HaShvi, in that of Tishrei, that you can make the Tashlumen. Now, says the Gemara, my Tashlumen, in other words, how is the concept, the mechanism of Tashlumen work? So we have Machlekes. Yechanan, he says, Tashlumen L'Rishon. It's making up for the first day, because the primary day when you're supposed to bring a Karmel Chagiga is the first day, like it says, Eisai, the first day of Yom Tov. After that, every day of Yom Tov, the 7 days, are Tashlumen, are supplementing and making up for that day one that you didn't bring it. Rabbi Yeshem, he says no differently. He says, Tashlumen Zeh Lo Zeh. It's making up every day for the day before it, meaning there is no one day that the obligation is not inherent and intrinsic on that day itself. If you didn't bring the day before, so then the next day is the primary day you're supposed to. And the next day after that is making up for the day beforehand. So essentially, every day is making up from the day prior that you didn't bring it. Which Gemara says, "My benai, what's the difference between those two interpretations?" Rabbi Zeri says, "Cheger b'yem rishon." The difference is if you have someone that was lame on the first day of Yom Tov, which, as we said in the opening Mishnah, that if such a person is not fit to go ahead and bring the Karmel Chagiga, them in the special b'yem sheni, then he was healed on the 2nd day of Yom Tov. That's Ikeh B'nai. That's the difference between them, as the Gemara explains. Rabbi Yechanan Tashlum L'Rishon, he says, all the 7, 8 days of Yom Tov are to make up for day one. Well, Kivin L'Chazer B'Rishon, since he wasn't eligible on day one, so L'Chazer B'Sheni is not eligible on day two, because it's making up only for the day one, and there was no Chiv to have a Tashlumen for. Whereas Rabbi Yesham, he says, no, Tashlumen Zelaz, every day is making up the day before it. So Avagav L'Chazer B'Rishon, although he was not eligible on day one, Chazer B'Sheni is eligible on day two, it's its own Chiv. And therefore, you would go ahead and bring it on the following days of the Yom Tov. Problem is, says the Gemara, Amiyam Rabbi Yechon Hachid, Rabbi Yechon really says, you quote him, that every day is Tashlum L'Rishon, and therefore you said that if he was Chigab Yom Rishon, that then no more he's not going to bring it on the other days of Yom Tov. But the Amah Chizkiya says, which this is brought in regarding the Mishnah Masech Tiskris and of Tesam and Alf, that says that a Nazir brings one carbon for many Tumas. How so? So Chizkiya explains, Nitma Bayoyim. So let's say the Nazir already went through his 7 days of purification, and then becomes Tamei on day 8. Now, on day 8, which is already after the 7 days of purifying, the day after Mechutz Kippurim, you have to bring a carbon. He's already on day 8 fit to bring his carbonus and start over his count of Nazirs, because when he becomes Tamei, he has to go through 7 days purifying, then start over. Now, on the 8th day, he starts over, now, and all the days that he counted up until that point before he became Tamei are nullified. Like it says, on the 8th day, he brings 2 turtle doves or 2 young doves, and he starts his Naziris over, and the earlier days fall away because he became Tummy during his Naziris. So that's what Chizki explains, that if he became Tummy on day 8, maybe he's going to bring, although we said that if, let's say, during his days of Tumma, he became Tumma again, or during his days of Tar, before he's finished with the 7 days, he'll bring the one Karmi he's going to bring is going to work for all the Tummas, but if it was on day 8 already, oh, then he's going to have to bring a carbon for his 2nd tumah, because he was already obligated in a carbon of tumah, and he essentially already started his second Nazirus. So this is like another Tumah. If, again, it happened during day 8. But if let's say became Tame Balaila on the night of the 8th day, so he's already done with his 7 days of Tara, but he didn't, and neither could he have brought his carbon on day 8 because he can't bring carbonis at nighttime. Oh, then Einim Mevi. Then you don't bring two. Then you only bring one carbon because he has never yet left from the category of his original Tumma to a moment when he could have brought his carbonis for his original Tumma. So he wasn't obligated in the first carbon, and therefore there's no Tashlumin for that carbon because it never had the Chiyav to say that you have a second Chiyav. Whereas Rabbi Yechon Amar, and that's who we're asking from, he says, no. Once he immersed for his original tumma on day 7, and he already had sundown, af balayla nami mevi. So even if he becomes tame now by the night of the 8th day, right after the 7 days are over, he is going to be chayav with another carbon, even though nighttime you're not fit to bring a carbon. And this is the main point. So we see that even though he's not fit for a carbon, that it does have a halacha of tashlumin, meaning of its own obligation. So didn't you just tell me that Rabbi Yechon holds that if you weren't row, so then there's no halacha of tashlumin? So here, so how are you saying that there's a halacha of a chiyuv at a time when you're not fit to bring a carbon, which at nighttime, that it does have a tashlumin, and that you can be chayv a separate chiyuv on for a separate halacha of tumma, as if it's mechayv its own makeup? So Rabbi Yirmiyahu says, no, shani tumma. Tumma is different. In other words, a carbon that's pushed off because of tumma is different. So therefore, yes, that would have tashlumin. And even though it wasn't at a time that it was fit to bring it, and therefore, when you had the tumma on the night of the 8th day, okay, so then that's something that you have to make a tashlumin for. You're going to have two chiyuvim over here. Now, why would we say is tumma different? You're right. By the halacha of our Mishnah that we discussed regarding of tashlumin of your carbon chagiga, not because of tumma, simply because you didn't bring it, you're right. Rabbi Yechon would hold that since we're saying it's too much tashlumin the rishon, if you weren't row b'yam rishon, that's it. If you're not row, you're not going to be able to bring in the rest of the days. Yet by tumma, even though you weren't row yet because of tumma, so then actually you would have tashlumin. Why? Because we find the yeshla tashlumin b'pesach sheni. We find such a concept. For example, if let's say someone was tummy by pesach rishon on the 14th of Nisan, so then the halacha is he brings it a month later on the 14th of Iyar, what's called pesach sheni. So we see that even though he wasn't fit to bring it the first time, there is going to be tashlumin, it's going to be a makeup. So therefore we say the same thing regarding, in general, the halacha of tumma, which after he's done with his naziris on the night of the 8th day, which because of the tumma that he had, he's not fit to bring it yet, but it's because of tumma. So then we're going to say, even the fact that you can't bring it, it is going to be a separate chiyuv. But if he's rejected because of something else, like because being lame, we don't find that you can make it up unless you were eligible to bring it, and you weren't eligible because it's all regarding the first day. And therefore, yeah, Rabbi Yechon would hold that you wouldn't be able to bring it the rest of the Yom Tov. But Maskevel Rav Papa asked on the answer we just gave. Ha Nichel Ma'adam, this is very well according to one who says, which is the Machlekes Masechet Pesachim, that Tzadik Gimel Med Aleph, that says Pesach is a Ketin Tamid Beis Sheni, that you're right, the halacha of the second Pesach, which is a month later in the 14th of the year, is Tashlum Derishanu. That you're right, that to make up for the first one that you didn't bring it. El Mandam, according to one who holds Sheni Reagub of Neatzmehu, that the second one is actually its own Yomtiv, which that has relevancy regarding someone became a ger or became an adult, but it's its own Yomtiv. So wait a second, now you cannot make suspended that the reasoning of Rabbi Yechanan, that why he would hold that there's a difference between the halacha of the Nazir and between the halacha of our Mishnah of Karmach Hagigah is because we find by Tumma there is a concept of Tashlumin for the second one, because if it's rejected because of Tumma, we consider that still eligible for Tashlumin. You don't have that because the whole source was from Pesach Sheni. But that Mandama holds that Pesach Sheni is not Tashlum Derishon. So Michael, what are you going to say? So El Rather says Gemara, a different resolution to the contradiction. I'm a papa. A papa holds. Ksaver b'yichem rechon actually holds. Laila in the mechuz hazman. Nighttime is not considered as if you're lacking ability. It's as if you already came to the day of that you're allowed to bring your karbanas. Even though technically you can't because it's nighttime. But since it's that day, even though you technically can't, it's considered as if you already had reached that time. So therefore you're going to be obligated in another karban. It's just, again, it's a technical thing. It's nighttime that you can't bring it. In contrast to the halacha that we're discussing in our daf, that if someone's lame on the first day, so then he doesn't have any obligation whatsoever of re'iyah. So therefore, you're not going to have any tashlumin. And that's the fundamental difference between those cases. So if someone's not ro, you're right. But the halacha of nighttime is not considered mechuzman. It is considered technically as if you wrote. Says the Gemara, did Rabbi Yechon really say what the answer you're trying to say, that nighttime is not considered mechuzman, as if it's lacking, as if you're not really eligible? And you're saying that it is considered eligible? But Rabbi Yechon says regarding a different halacha, regarding a zav, who's someone who had three discharges, where he has to count seven clean days, what's called Shibin Nekiyim, according to the halacha. And then he tables on day seven, and then he has what's called Harav Shemesh sundown, and then subsequently, Ra Achas Balayla, the next night he sees one discharge, Vishtayim Bayayim, and the following day he has two discharges. Says Rabbi Yechon, so maybe he's going to have to bring a korban for the second tumah. Besides for the korban he has to bring for the first tumah that he was a zav, and he's going to make two korbanos when he becomes tar. Now, what's the reason? Because since he didn't see the second one until it was a time when he was able to already bring a korban for the first one, so therefore it has tashlumin. When we use the word tashlumin, we mean to say that it has an obligation that ultimately has to be fulfilled, even though you're technically still tumah and you still have to bring the first one. Now, also regarding the second one you're going to have to bring, because even though it started in the time when you were still within the time frame of the first carbon, which was nighttime, we don't say that it's one tumah, which Rabbi Yosef explains in Masechtas Krisos, because since the first discharge of the ziva is really not really ziva, halachically it's really like keri ba'amah, like just a seminal discharge. So when you see the others, still we say that it combines, where it's going to make you into a zav if you have two more discharges. So here also, even though the first discharge of the second one was within still the time frame of the first carbon, because you saw the first one of the three at nighttime, which you weren't yet eligible yet to even bring the first one, so it can't make another second carbon obligation. But when you see the other two tomorrow, they will combine with that first one, even though generally the first one really is not even combinable, but it is. So too, regarding this halacha of as a separate chiyuv. That's regarding if you see one at nighttime of the eighth day and two the following by daytime. But if you have two of the discharge at nighttime and one the following day, then any maybe. Then you're not going to bring a separate carbon for that. Because two, which are the majority already of the three discharges, were at nighttime when it's a time that was still that you still couldn't bring the first carbon yet, not, let alone to make a second chiyuv. But says the Gemara, wait a second. But if you can entertain, like we just said, nighttime is not considered like you didn't reach the time that you could bring a carbon. It's just technically you can. Well, then even the second halacha that he said, when you see two discharge at night of the eighth day, and one during the day of the eighth day, and as Rashi says, even if you saw all three at the nighttime, you already left the first time, and these are should be considered two distinct ziva discharges, and maybe, and you should have to bring a separate carbon. Rather, obviously, Rabbi Yechon holds that no, Laila is Mechuzman. Therefore, if you saw two at nighttime, it is considered like one long ziva from the first one, therefore you're not going to bring another carbon. So the Gemara answers and says, it's still not difficult. Kikom Rabbi Yechon, when Rabbi Yechon says that halacha, was Ladirbi Ha'imer, according to one that says, Laila Mechuzman, that nighttime is considered lacking, that's whom he was saying that halacha, that, oh, okay, there's going to be a difference if you see one at night and two at day, or two at night and one at day. But according to him, he holds, as we mentioned before, that even if you would see all three at nighttime, you would bring a separate carbon mazib because the old Laila is la mechuzman, like we said before. But then the Gemara asks that if you're going to say that, no, he's saying his own reasoning, so, well, like we had understood in the question, so we could understand that he's coming to teach us that Laila is mechuzman. And that would be a chiddush to tell us that halachic status by seeing two at night. No, you see the majority at nighttime, it's mechuzman, it's not going to make a separate chiyuv of zibanim. But if, like you're trying to say, l'divrei ha'omer, that he's saying, oh, according to the one who holds la'im mechuzman, that's what I'm saying, halacha, well, then shita, then obvious, because you'd be saying two at nighttime, so that's the majority, how could it make a separate chiyuv if you're going according to the one who holds la'im mechuzman? So what would he be telling us? Says the Gemara, you're right, that case is not the chiddush, but the first case is the chiddush. Of shtayim bayoyim, when you see two during the daytime, achas baylala, one at nighttime, that it's really that he was necessary, that he needed to tell you according to that man the amah. Because sugat that I mean, you would have thought to say kaat kafasa drav sheisha breidav idi, like the question of sheish breidi had that he asked in the Masechtas Krisos on the reasoning that Rav Yosef gave, like we explained before, that you should know that the first discharge of all zavim is really like not even combinable because it's just carried by amah. And then when you see another two, it combines with that first one, so it's not going to make any difference. Rav Sheshet asked them that, he says, is it comparable? There at least, it's during a time when you could be obligated. Here, it's not at a time that it could make a separate carbon, so how could you say that the first one at nighttime could combine with the two on the following day to make it into a separate obligation of the Siva? That's what he's coming to tell us, like Rav Yosef, that no, yes, even though the first one is not even at a time to make a separate chiv of a ziva. But since anyway, the first one is always flawed, and at least you're having the majority of the two the next day, which is at a time that you could have already brought your first carbon for ziva, and now you're having again two discharges, you could combine the first one, like anyways, usually it's like keri ba'alma, and you still combine it, it's like you're having three at a separate time of chiv, and therefore you can be chayev of shtayim b'yam achas b'layla for a separate carbon of ziva. That was the chiddush, but you're right, the other halacha wasn't the chiddush, because he's saying like the man da'alma that holds that layla is Mechuzah's Ma'bar. Again, he himself holds Laila's love Mechuzah's Ma'bar, and therefore that's like how we had answered before. That's why it's different than the cases. It's not a contradiction, because you're right. If someone's not Ro, like the case of Chigar, for the halacha of what we're discussing here in this daf, it wouldn't be Mechuzah the rest of the days, because you're not eligible. Here, by Laila, Rabbi Yochanan holds, is love Mechuzah's Ma'bar, and therefore you are considered eligible, and therefore it does create a Sebechiv. The halacha of the Mishnah that said, of the HaRegav Loichag, if the Yom Tov passed and he didn't bring his Karma Chagiga, in the Chabah Chayus, he's not responsible for this anymore. Falzenem, and regarding this, the Pasuk says, in Kehelis, Mu'uvis Loyochel Liskoin, something that's twisted, that cannot be fixed, Vechestron Loyochel Imanis, and something that's missing, that it cannot be counted on anymore. Now, the Gemara has a question. Normally, Bar Hehe Lehil, Bar Hehe, who some explained that he was a Ger, and those are called the sons of Avram and Sarah, which is the beginning of all the Gerim, and Avram and Sarah both had a hey add on to the names. Avram turned to Avraham, Sarai turned to Sarah, and that's Bar Hehe, the son of Hey and Hey, which refers to Sarah and Avram. Or actually, so too we find Ben Bagbag, who the numerical value of Bag is also Hey, so essentially saying Bar Hehe just had a different name of saying that he's a convert. Be that as it may, Bar Hehe said to Hill, Hai Lehimanais, why are you saying that it's something that's lacking that cannot be counted? It should have said that it cannot be filled. Because when you're talking about lacking, it's more appropriate the terminology of filling, that you're missing one mitzvah, you can't fill it up anymore. Why are you saying counting? So Eli rather explains, it refers to a specific case. It refers to his friends that were counted for a mitzvah purpose, that they said to him, come with us. And he was not counted with them, he didn't go. So it comes that he's lacking from that minion, from that counting, that he cannot be counted anymore with that counting because they already did the mitzvah. That's what the pasuk is referring to. And Tam Halacha is similar in the Braisa. When it says Mubis LaYecha Liska, and that it's something that's crooked that cannot be fixed. Zeshabitl Kriyishma Shal Shachar, this is someone who did not fulfill Kriyishma of the morning, or Kriyishma Shal Arvis, or Kriyishma in the evening. Oishabitl Tvilish Shal Shachar, or he didn't daven Shachar in the morning, or Tvilish Shal Arvis, did not daven Mayrv in the evening. And Bechesun LaYuchli Monis, that's the first half of the pasuk, and the Tam Halacha is on this part. And what does it mean, lacking that cannot be counted on? This is that his friends were counted on a mitzvah purpose, and was not counted with them. Another teaching from Amli Bar Hehe Lehil. Bar Hehe said to Hil, it wasn't in the pasuk in Malachi that says, Bishavtem Reisim, you're going to return, you're going to see, Bein Tzadik LaRasha, between the righteous and the wicked, Bein Oved Elokim LaHashem Lo Yavadu, to the one who serves God and to the one who doesn't serve Him. The question is, it seems redundant, repetitive. Hainu Tzadik, Hainu Oved Elokim. Whoever is a tzaddik is the same one that serves God. It's the same thing. And also, Hainu Rasha, Hainu Asha Le'avadi. The wicked is the one who doesn't serve Him. So why are we repeating them? So Amalei says, no, these are two different things. Avadi v'la avadi, that category of the one who serves God and the one who doesn't, Tavayat Tzaddiki Gemurin. Those are both righteous. So there's righteous and the wicked. And in righteous, there's the one who serves God and the one who doesn't serve God. But what does that mean? How could you be a tzaddik and not serve God? Because it's contrasting a finer division. The Ein Adami cannot compare Shoyna Pirka Me'apam to the one who reviews his learning 100 times, the Shoyna Pirka Me'apam to the one who reviews his learning 101 times. So though they're both righteous, they're both tzaddikim, they did not serve God equally, because this one serves Him more, and he's considered the one that's Avadi Elikim. So Malay said to him, because of one time difference, you call him the one who doesn't serve God? Malay says to him, in yes, and he says, Seyu Lamad, says, go out and learn, Mishuk Shachamarim. If you go to the market of the donkey drivers, come to the taxi station. A sort of parsi, if a person wants to hire the donkey driver to go with his donkey for 10 parsi, that's going to cost you bezuza, one zuz, and that's the customary for the prices that they charge. Now, if you tell him to go one more parsa, Aser Parsi, for 11 Parsi, he's going to ask for you, betray Zuzi, for two Zuzi, double the price, just for one more Parsa. So you see that it could be that one thing off, it makes that much of a difference. Another teaching, Amalei Eliyahu. Eliyahu said, Labar Hehe, same individual. Vamalo, some say, he said, L'Rabbi Lazar. Mandar said, wasn't even passing in Yeshaya. Hine behold, Tiraftich, I've refined you, V'loi B'kasav. Not in silver, meaning not in fire the way you refine silver in the fire, rather, Bechartichah, I've chosen you bekur oini, in the smelting pot of poverty. That's how I'm going to refine you. So what does that mean? So in Malami comes to teach you Shachazak Kadosh Baruch Hu al komidus toibis leitni saw. God went around to all the good attributes, the positive characteristics. What should he give to the Jewish people? And he only found what's the best thing for the Jewish people is poverty, and that's the midat toibah. That's how he refines the Jewish people. And Amar Shmuel, he tells me something. Rabbi Yosef, this is what people say, beautiful is poverty for a Jew, like a red strap for a white horse. That's how well it looks on the Jewish people. Go back to the halacha of the Mishnah, another interpretation. He says, what is something that's crooked that cannot be fixed? He says, there's someone that has relations with a woman that's forbidden to him. Then he sears a child that's an illegitimate child. Now, the Gemara makes an inference. It sounds like hoilid in, only if he gives birth to a child from that union. But loy hoilid loy, if he didn't give birth, that's not considered mu'ubas loy chaliskan. But v'hatani b'loy nabraisa, Reb Shimon ben Menasya Eimer, it says the same Reb Shimon ben Menasya, that he says, goin of Adam, if someone kidnaps, he steals a person. If someone steals. So, ef sheyach zegeneva b'yisakin, he could give back what he stole, and he could fix that mistake, whatever he robs. Or goizel Adam, a person could steal, so robbing, stealing ones out in the open ones discreetly, but whatever it is that you took, you can give back. But if someone had relations with a married woman, now he made her forbidden to her husband, he gets chased out of the world and he has no more way of repenting because he did something that cannot be fixed because a woman is forever eternally forbidden to her husband. Before we answer the question, we continue with the Braisa. He says, Ein Oymar, that don't say bakru gamal, check the camel, bakru chazir, check the swine, like to see if it's fit for a carbon. In other words, someone that, or something that was always distorted, that's not mu'uvis, as we said this interpretation in the Mishnah, elu bakru tala. Rather we say, check out this lamb for a carbon. Maybe develop a blemish and it got ruined. So too the word of kilkul that applies by a person that was originally good. So he says, when it's talking about Mu'ubas layuchal liskon, it means ve'ezer. What's they're referring to is tamuchachem shapirish ma'atir. Specifically, a tamuchachem who was good and say, okay, let's check it out. Is he still good? If he distanced himself from learning Torah, that's mu'ubas layuchal liskon. Now, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakashami, he says, called tamuchachem shapirish ma'atir. Continuing on that theme, he says, any Talmudic scholar that removes himself from Torah, Allah v'kaz of Eman, him the pasuk says in Mishlei, ketiper neidedus min kina, like a bird that wanders from its nest. So to a person wanders from his place, which is in the Torah. Like it says, a passing Hashem says, what did your fathers find in me? Anything wrong? That they've distanced themselves from me. In other words, you were always their Torah learners. Where have you gone? But be that as it may, the original interpretation of Shimon ben Asya said that just having relations with a married woman, even not having a child, is considered mu'ubas leichel liskan. So why do you say in the Mishnah that specifically v'haylim emen amamzer? Says Gemara Lekash, not difficult. Depends what type of erva he's having relations with. Kan b'chayseh penuya. When are we talking about in our Mishnah that it's a problem only if you have a child, is if he has relations with incest of his single sister, where if he has a child, that you can't fix because of mamza, but if not, he didn't make her forbidden on anyone. So that could be ameliorated. Whereas kan b'eshes ish, the Bryce is talking about we had a relation with a married woman. Yeah, even without a child, there's still a recollection for a sin where this woman is now forever forbidden on her husband. Doesn't make a difference if it's his sister or any other woman. And therefore that depends what type of ever it is, if it needs a child to make it or even if not. Or another approach you could say is actually both statements of Shimon Manasseh in the Mishnah and Braisa both talk about having a relation with a married woman. The Lakash is still not difficult. Khan is a contingent of Yoram and Aleph is Ba'inus. When did we say in the Mishnah specifically you can't fix it only if you have a child? It's talking about if he forcibly violated a woman. She's actually not forbidden on her husband anymore. So therefore, only with a child, there's nothing to fix. But if not, then she could stay with her husband. So it's not Movus Leich Haliskan. Whereas Khan Beratzin, the Brice is talking about when she engaged in this relationship with consent, willingly, oh, then she'll be forbidden her husband. So even without a child, move us. Over by some, if you want, you can say another approach. Hava hava ayin is actually both Mishnah and Brisa talking about where he forcibly had this relation with her. But Lakash is still not difficult because Kamba Isha is Kayin. The Brisa is talking about the wife of a Kayin. When even if she was violated, she's forbidden to her husband, like the Gemara says in Ksubas Avnan Alpha Mavais. Because it says in the Pasik, Vehilo Nispasa, and the woman was not forced when she had relations with the other men. So then she's forbidden to her husband. The inference is, but if she was forced, she should be permitted. Now, but what's that Toma? That's Toma, the wife of Yisrael. Because from the fact that it says he, which is, it's an exclusionary terminology to say specifically her, it's telling you there's another woman, even though she was raped, even though she was forced, she will be forbidden to her husband. Which one is that? That's the wife of a Kohen. So therefore, that's what the Brisa was talking about. Kameish Yisrael. I'm just talking about the wife of a regular non-Kohen, where then only if he had a child is Movis Leicheliskin, but if no child, then she could stay with her husband. It's not Movis Leicheliskin. Now, related to what we spoke about, the Gemara says, V'la Yotzi V'la Bo, Ein Shalom. For the one that's going and coming, the Pasuk says in Zechariah that there's no peace, which the Gemara is expounding it over here, like we mentioned before, someone who leaves Torah and he goes to other things. So Amar Rabbi says, what's this Pasuk saying that if someone that leaves, he has no peace? He's leaving and he's coming. Meaning, if he's leaving from learning Mishnah, which is generally called Dvar Halacha, and he's going to learn Chumash, Shuvein LeShalom. So then he doesn't have any peace anymore. Meaning, because you cannot make any rulings from Chumash, because at least Mishnah is more a specific and explaining than the unspecified Pesukim of the Torah. Shmuel says a little further, he says, this is someone who leaves the Talmud, which in Talmudic parlance actually means when you serve and you attend to the Chachamim, which they are what's known as Gemara, that they're precise to teach the reasonings of the Mishnayos, to understand the Mishnayos that contradict each other, to find the reasoning why here it says Potter, why here it says Chayav, why here it's Aser, why here it's Mutter, where that's what's known as Talmud, which is like a student learning from the Rabbi. And if you leave that and you then now engage in just learning Mishnayos, so then you don't have any more peace, at least in regarding to know what to do, because you can't have an appropriate ruling for Mishnayos, because men Mishnayos, the words are not precise, and the Gemara has to resolve it and say, Hochma Iskinan, or it's a certain type of context, or Chesur Mechzer, words are missing, or Homani, who's on a Mishnah, it's that Reb Plainihi, and the Halach is not like that. So therefore, if you leave from something that's more specific to less specific, it's Ein Shalom, because you're not going to know what to do. And Rabbi Yechonami says, Afilim Mishas L'Shas. He says, even if you leave from the Talmud Yerushalmi to Talmud Bavli, which is deeper, like the Gemara says in the end, that Talmud Bavli is considered in the darkness you have placed me, like the dead of the world, where, yeah, you left something more specific to something less specific that's more difficult, that's also considered the Layetze. If you leave those words of Torah, even just qualitatively, not even quantitatively, would be Ein Shalom, the person doesn't have peace because he doesn't know how to rule in his life.